Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Brett's Flea Circus. I'm Dylan's Mr. Jones.
Dylan's Mr. Jones, are you? Lovely. Yep. I'm Simply Brett.
Okay, Simply Brett. Not better than Simple Brett. Brett, which is what people normally call
people do normally call us that, yes. I was thinking more of like the band Simply Red, but Simply okay. Brett.
Simply Brett. Hold back the gears.
Exactly, yeah. Huh? Money's too tight to mention.
Good, you sound like him as well. What
do I do? And I love the thought.
I don't like that one.
Do you not? The jungle.
Don't like
he
it.
Got right into his jungle, did Nick?
Think it's jungle?
I didn't. It's not jungle, is it?
It's like
jungle drums. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I felt like it was more fiesta.
Fiesta? Well, if that pleases you, Cliff, that pleases you.
Of course, it pleases me greatly.
Unfortunately for me, you're parading around with the microphone in your hands.
Dale.
I don't particularly like it.
Yeah, well, it's we'll not see good. How it goes. We'll do the call and response throughout, so you know what bit you've got to go, ayo.
No, I don't know what I'm doing next.
You could just go do that, ayo.
No, I'm not doing it.
I quite like it.
I'm not doing that, man. Yeah, well, you feel free, do you?
Table back out here. It's going to have to stay.
But where did you have it rested before that, though?
Well, normally on the table, but then...
Well, where's the table gone? Oh, you've pawned off all your furniture items, haven't you?
Yeah, uh-huh.
That's what you've done. I see. Oh, yes, well, fair enough.
The work still hasn't commenced.
Well, that's a shame. That is a goddamn shame.
Yeah, it's been Pearl's birthday this week. She turned 4. It's a right busy time. We've got Jane's birthday, we've got our anniversary, and we've got Pearl's birthday. So, on the Friday, Pearl's birthday was Tuesday this week. On the Friday beforehand, she discovered the baby Yoda some of our videos. I love this guy, this alien. I love him. This baby Yoda, look at him. He's so cute. I want it for my birthday, Daddy. I thought, that's all right. I can manage that. I'll see if I can get at that. So I ordered one, and it came. Uh-huh. And she opened it, and she said, it's baby Yoda. Yay, it's baby Yoda. By the night of Tuesday night, she hated it. She said, this isn't the baby Yoda I want, Daddy. He doesn't move. It was like a squishy toy, but with the head. The head's quite hard.
Yeah.
Doesn't move. Mm-hmm. He's meant to move. This isn't what I want. His mouth should move. This man has a silly mouth. Turn him away. I never want to see it again.
Turn him away.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I like that.
So
Turn
him away. I never want to see his face. So, if you wanted one, there's one that does like a little, like the arms move and it,
like a little waddly walk or something.
Yeah, yeah. So she wanted that was the one she'd seen on a video. So luck would have it, there was one of them on one of my colleagues' desks at work. Not a massive Star Wars fan or anything. Just one, you know. We get sent stuff at work sometimes. So I guess when the Mandalorian came out or something like that, we got sent one of them. And it's been on the desk like a little mascot ever since. So I said, I went in the next day, I was like, I've got a favour to ask, please. That Yoda, can I have it? And she was like, I guess. didn't really ask many questions, to be honest, which is good of her.
And can I ask, are you higher up than the person that you stole this yoda from?
I don't see that, if that's relevant.
Yes, yeah, well, I think it might be relevant.
Tell you what, her lunch was delicious as well.
She may well have felt intimidated. What am I going to say in this situation? No, boss, you can't have it. It's mine.
Well, what I said was...
Is she going to say that?
It's absolutely fine, but I can bring a replacement in tomorrow that just has a slightly sadder mouth. That's what you want.
Wouldn't it have been great if he had brought it in and then that lady had gone, this isn't the one that I've asked for.
No, turn him away.
Can you turn it away?
So she was like, yeah, no, but then I was like, look, I'll bring the other one in. You're like, well, it's not that I really want a Yoda. It was just a gift and it's on the desk, you know? I was like, no, don't be silly. We'll do it.
So, no, don't be silly.
You're having it.
I thought you told this poor lady under you. Calm down, dear. No, don't be silly.
You're having it. Anyway, brought baby Yoda home, but that was last night. And actually, I went out after work. I didn't see Pearl last night. So sent her a video. I said, look, here it is. And he's doing the head movement and the eye flickering and giggling and stuff. She sent us a video back that you are the best daddy ever. This is amazing. Thank you so much, daddy. I said, well, you're going to have to say thank you to Sarah from work who said you could have it. And maybe as a, to say thank you, you can give her one of your stuffies that you don't want anymore. Said, Sarah, thank you. I think you can have my other baby Yoda as a thank you. That was the video.
So, well, that's nice.
That was nice of her. So anyway,
it was.
She wouldn't go to bed. I didn't get in till like 11 o'clock last night, so she was in bed. Well, apparently she wouldn't go to bed for ages because she wanted to wait for us to come back with baby Yoda. She's
with
so excited
the Yoda.
That didn't happen. She woke up this morning. She ran straight in. Daddy, where's baby Yoda? Where is he? So give her the baby Yoda. First thing she said was, oh, he's a bit small. I was like, well, he is smaller than the other one, yes, but this is the size of this one. So, and she was like, he's not talking. So I switched him on. He was doing the talking and he does a little thing where the force happens and it goes, he lifts his arm up. Oh, look at that. I look a bit like Auto Man.
Yeah, you do. you look wonderful.
So anyway, then she put her headphones on, watched the telly for a little bit while she had her breakfast, kept playing with the baby Yoda, patting him on the head. So he did the thing. She was going like this with the force kind of thing. Look, he's got magic powers. You're absolutely loving it. Ah, I can't wait. Can I take him to school? I love him. Can't take him to school. What if somebody breaks him or you forget him, whatever? You better keep him here so he's safe when you come back. Anyway, come in tonight. He's been discarded, Brett.
I knew that's where it was going, Cliff.
He's been discarded because this time she doesn't like the vibration when he does the force.
Poor baby Yoda. I mean,
I was like, you were loving it this morning. She said, yes, but daddy, I had my headphones on and I couldn't hear the noise he made and I don't like it. So I put him in the bath to give to another, some other children. And I was like, oh, Pearl, it's a bit ungrateful that we asked another person if they would give you this because you really want it.
No, you don't want it.
And she was like, yeah, daddy, I know. She said, maybe you can keep it and put it in your bedroom, but I never want to see it.
She's very blunt, isn't she? I love the bluntness of it. It's to the point. Isn't it?
So let's see if you warm to him over the weekend.
Do you think she's seen any Star Wars stuff?
Well, some of the videos she watches where they're playing with toys, there's the baby Yoda on there. To be honest, it isn't the one that she has. It's like much more of a plasticky, like robot-y one, whereas this is like soft head and the ears moving, all of that. So she's seen it on that. But when she was a tiny baby, it was when The Mandalorian first came out. And on a weekend morning, I used to sit with her and watch it on that. I'm sure she can't remember that. But it felt quite nice that she had reconnected with that moment until obviously now she hasn't. She hates
it. It's funny what kids remember, you know, because I mean, Lennon, he'll always remember the songs when I did actually have a CD player in the car. He'd always, he'd play the songs, you know, now that he would hear when he was like two. It's weird. So it stays with them.
They do remember stuff, but they soak it all in, don't they? It comes out at random times. You think, how on earth can you remember that?
There's loads of times he's gone, Dad, remember those songs, like the compilation sort of CDs that used to play in the car? Where are they? I want to listen to them again. Do you know what I mean? And he was two when I was playing these. So, yeah, it's strange, like, but it definitely stays in there somewhere. In the memory.
So that's Baby Yoda. I don't know what to do. Jane's like, we'll try and sell it. I'm like, no, I'm not. I can't do that. If she still doesn't want it, I'll buy it come Monday morning. I'll have to take it back into work on and swap it back.
That's the thing as well, you know, there was a teddy that he did have when he was little. And for some reason, he stopped liking it. And then he was like six or something. And he saw a picture of himself when he was three. And it was this little giraffe. And he cried for this teddy that he had when he was three, even though he lost interest in it. He wanted it back when he was six.
Jane's like, just get rid of it then. Like, no, like we've been through two days. I'm not giving up yet.
just keep it and she'll change her mind. Always that baby.
Eventually, she'd rather have this one than the other one because this one does move and the other one didn't. So I said we'll just keep it and see how it goes.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best thing to do. So anyway, what you wanted us to ask you about slavery, Cliff. I'm a bit reticent.
Well,
to ask,
it's giving away the punchline a bit. Not that slavery is funny, of course, but the...
Right, okay.
So Jane started looking into her family tree.
Right.
Primarily because she wants an Irish passport. Fair enough. So her dad was born in Cork, Ireland. Uh-huh. So she's eligible for an Irish passport. She wants to get one because they're still in Europe and all of that. And I think basically you just have to go, here's a picture of me dad, he's Irish. Can I have a passport, please? And they're happy to do that.
So, the Irish are happy to give out passports if you provide them a picture of an Irishman.
I think so, yeah.
Right. Well, that's good. That's good to know for any criminals out there. Here's Liam Neeson.
Yeah, he's my dad.
Oh, the passport's yours.
He's my dad. Well, we know fine well that his daughter.
The passport's yours, sir.
what was I saying? So, anyway, as a result, basically, the dad. You need the birth certificate. And her dad didn't have it because he was born in Cork.
You've just said the picture was sufficient.
It didn't suffice.
Oh, no.
He didn't have it because he was born in Cork. He moved over to the UK very young and he didn't just have that stuff then, whenever it was in the 30s or whatever it was. So he doesn't have it. So they started trying to get it by the ancestry and all of that kind of stuff. And then they started looking into it, and there's an interesting backstory to this, which I won't go into now. The bigamy part of it's not that interesting compared to what I'm about to tell you.
Is it not? The bigamy part? Jane applied to be on there. Who do you think you are? Something.
Well, I said she could be, but it would be...
It would be a shocking episode, would it?
It would, well... So I said all you have to do is become famous, and then you can cry about this on air. But she was quite shook up about the revelation. So basically, they started looking into it. Then they started looking into our mums. And our mums, from Wheatley Hill, we've talked about before, tiny little village in County Durham, generations upon generation, from this little Pit Yakka village mining community. And our granddad on our mum's side is the one who's from there. But then they found his granddad's information, and his granddad was a professor at Cambridge University, which nobody knew about. He was from the Glasgow School of Art and then became a professor at Cambridge. But his dad, Robert Taylor, said he was a merchant in Jamaica. So Jane was like, oh, look at this, me great, 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 great granddad is a professor at Cambridge University. Also describes him as a merchant in Jamaica. Kind of only means one thing, and he was a sugar merchant.
Sugar plantations in
that. Sugar plantation. So not a slave owner or trade, not a slave trader or slaver, but I mean, there's only one set of people worked on those plantations. So she's
his hands aren't entirely clean, Ellicliffe.
They're not entirely clean, no. But if you Google the man, the name Robert Taylor, Merchant Jamaica, 18 or whatever it is, there's quite a lot about this fella because he's very prominent.
Is he a bad guy? Is he?
Actually, he seems all right. But he also had a child with a local lady, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
And that son was mixed race and went back to Scotland with him. And there's a whole thing about this integration of this mixed race son into Scottish society and all of this stuff. So Jane, like, genuinely was like, is really upset about this. I mean, I've said there's not much you can do about that. A brother, in typical a brother fashion, was like, well, how come we're all poor and like...
Yeah. Well, that was going to be my next question, Cliff.
So anyway, I said, like, this is great. We should do, who do you think you are with this? However, they'd be filming it in our house where our nanny, Francesca, obviously, is from Zimbabwe. So
yeah.
I was thinking that the optics of what it might look like on camera without being upset about this.
Hey, nothing's changed, has it, Cliff?
Anyway, there was one more thing that they found out, which is the father-in-law of this guy, the professor, was a reverend or minister at somewhere in Scotland. So actually didn't know that all of our family was Scottish, but he was a minister at this place in Scotland, and Robert Burns stayed at the church. And there's a there's a letter about Robert Burns to this guy saying, I'm staying at this church, by the way. The fella's lovely, but his wife, fuck me, she's gorgeous. It's a good job. Like, I'm in a church, otherwise I don't know what I would do. Like, we all found all this out yesterday. There's like loads of...
That's a lot of information to take in, isn't it? Hey, you keep referring to they. Who are they? Who are the people doing it? You keep saying, and they found this out. Who are these people?
I've never asked.
Well, you want to? Could be some fucking Sharks or something.
Our sister's doing it, and our mum.
Our sister's doing it. All right. It's interesting stuff, though. Have you ever thought about doing anything like that?
You know, I don't even know, like who the actual family are. Really. I've never.
I know. Well, that's the thing, isn't it? You know what? Who, you know, obviously your nana, and if you're lucky, you know who your great nana is, but you're only probably very young when you know that type of thing. And that's about it, really, isn't it?
But also, like, it's not uncovering good stuff, really, is it? So do you want to do that?
But it's still, yes, it's not in this situation uncovering good stuff, but it is uncovering interesting stuff, isn't it? It is,
yes, of course.
And times were different and stuff like that. Jane can't have any embarrassment about this because it's got nothing to do with her, has it?
No, and clearly it's something happened that meant one of these children was not part of this rich family anymore and ended up moving to Durham to be a minor.
So... you can imagine, I mean, you know what happens with families anyway. And I mean, we're talking about way back and stuff like that. Loads of different things happen with families, don't there? Mm-hmm. You know, people are estranged and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, I think it's interesting. It's history, isn't it? But it's history, it's your own history, which is the interesting thing. I'd quite like to do it. But I don't want to be giving anybody my DNA. But, do you know what I mean?
Brett, they've already got it, man. Open your eyes.
Yeah, they probably have, haven't they? I've left it all over Shields.
Cliff. Well, yeah.
Not a hedge without it.
That's true.
So, you been up to anything?
Nothing as exciting as that. I've been watching a couple of things on the TV. I've been watching that Yorkshire Ripper thing. That's very, very good.
Because I'm not a massive fan of watching all the murder stuff and the real crime stuff.
It is grim. Yes, it is grim. But it should be, shouldn't it?
It should be. You know, but do we need to see it? Like,
I'm enjoying it. I wrestle with it. It's heavily on the treatment of obviously women because of what the program's about, but also women in the police force and how they treat or were treat. So it's interesting and it's done in a really good way. So
who plays the
guy that did it? We haven't quite seen the Ripper yet and the bit that I'm up to, but it's not about the Ripper. It's about what happens around the police force. You know, and the people around and the people who are
is it murdered your book from the Daily Star? That's all I want to know.
It's not that blood. So I've been watching that. And on a similar note, Cliff, I've been watching a lot of Crime Watch on YouTube.
Did we do a Crime Watch episode?
Can it really do Crime Watch, can we? It's fucking horrific. And that's the reason I'm watching it, because I was terrified of it as a kid.
It is terrifying.
And I still am now. The 80s ones, the reenacting stuff, is just, it's horrific. It's really bad. It scares us still to this day. So, yes, I've been watching that. That's what I've been doing. Watching Crime Watch. I'm watching that Ripper thing.
I'm watching that.
Please don't have nightmares. I don't want to see you that
morning. Oh, well, why are you even telling adults not to have nightmares?
Exactly. Of course you're going to have nightmares. It's just the way they do the reenactments. It's just so terrifying. It always
seem to be like robberies at jewellery stores with knives involved. That's what I can remember.
Yeah, and there's like uncomfortable silences at times and stuff. And Who's presenting it? There's various female presenters, but Nick Ross is the main.
Nick Ross?
Yeah.
Did Bert not do it?
No, I don't think so. I think
very confused between these two shows.
You certainly are. Were you not allowed to watch Crime Watch as a kid?
I only watched it like as a teenager, I think. I don't even. Why does anybody want to watch it? It's weird.
Well, I loved it as a kid. I used to cry to watch it, but I used to always have nightmares. So. Yeah, so that's what I
can't say. You shouldn't be allowed to watch that again.
I know, but there you go. I've been playing a bit of FIFA, the new FIFA, which isn't called FIFA
it's
anymore.
It's called FC.
EAFC.
What does FC mean? It's like football club.
Football club, yeah. It's absolutely terrible.
Oh, is it?
Obviously, I did the first thing that any 40-year-old man does when they buy FIFA, switch all the music off.
Oh, okay.
I turned all the music off straight away. I'm not listening to this shit.
What is it?
It's horrific. I've got no idea what the music is, but it's unlistenable.
Okay.
So, yeah. But you can't defend in a cliff. People just run past you and score.
Sounds like me in real life, to be honest. But okay. Don't need to recreate that.
You won't like about a cliff is you've got to memorize various loads and loads of button sequences and all that kind
too
of stuff.
Too many buttons which on is, these things. What?
Is the reason you stopped playing games in the first place.
Yeah, too many buttons.
You hate this.
How many buttons do you need to be able to pass, tackle and shoot?
Exactly.
It's only needed actual football. Why do you need any more than that?
I know. It's the most overly complicated thing in the world.
And, tell you and what else is overly complicated? The VAR process.
I haven't watched any of the VAR stuff. But what I was going to say about that, not only do you have to master the buttons, you also have to go on YouTube to see how people have got the cameras set up and change camera angles and shit like that so you can play the game better. I know. That isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard of?
If you
want to be good at the game, you've got to change camera settings. You've got to go into the settings, change them, something else. It's fucking, fuck it.
Don't like the sound of it.
No, awful. Mm. So that's what I'll be doing. What were you going to say there?
This year,
you've forgotten, haven't you? Jurgen Klopp's an idiot.
Yeah.
What happened? I knew there was something, but I don't watch Match of the Day.
Oh, well, I was watching this game, so there were Liverpool Spurs. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody's talking about it, but if you don't know anything about it, I'll tell you.
I know it's about an offside. Someone wasn't offside. Well,
the game was a bit... It was, for a start, Brett, I don't know if you've watched either of these teams play football.
I have, over the years.
Well, now...
Is John Aldridge still playing?
Football has changed, let me tell you. It's different to the Championship as well. So these are teams, the press, as they call it, they get closed down a lot. But yes. They don't care. They just pass it around. So both of these teams are passing it around in that 18-yard box while people charge them down. And uh-huh. They're just like last minute, like little passes to one side across the 6-yard box and stuff like that. It's like... It's stressful.
Beat the press on the cliff.
It's very stressful, Brett. It's
stressful to watch.
Yeah, but also like a little long ball, you would have beat the press, wouldn't you? Because they're all running, but they don't do that
the other way.
But I'm not sure that. I'm not sure. Certainly Spurs. I'm not sure Spurs have got the players to be able to do this. It's like heart in your mouth stuff watching them try and pass the ball about under intense pressure. So anyway, it was like an interesting game to watch because I don't really watch Premier League football that much. Or I hadn't watched these two teams play this way before. So then Liverpool get a man sent off for a tackle where he went over the ball and put his studs through a Spurs player's fucking shin, which... Everybody, for some reason, all the pundits were like, I don't think that's a red. That's a yellow at best because his foot grazes the top of the ball on its way to the studs up tackle.
If you go over the top of the ball, you get sent off these.
But they were saying, but he put his foot on the ball.
There was a Sullen one last night. Did you watch the Sullen game last night? Someone got sent off for Watford.
Right at the end, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it wasn't a sending off, I don't think. Watford were just fouling too many times and the ref got sick, sent them off.
Well, for this, like, I can't see how it wasn't a sending off, to be honest. But the pundits were saying that he had got the ball, but then his foot rolled over the ball. So even though he nearly snapped the lad's leg in half, it's fine. Anyway, the ref didn't agree, sent him off. So Spurs scored. Then then Liverpool equalised through this offside goal, and the replay showed that he was onside, and it went to VAR, and VAR were like, "Yeah, correct decision, disallowed." However, that's not what actually happened. They thought he had given the goal, and they'd been asked to check it was onside, and were like, "Yeah, check complete, proceed."
Okay,
but at no point, so they're doing just like, "Yeah, we've checked it." Carry on. So the ref was like, right, so fine, no goal.
At no point did the VAR people go, oh, actually, we've got a little bit wrong here.
Well,
that should have been a goal.
Released the audio of what happened. And
I
don't know why they've gone to this fucking length. It was a mistake, whatever. It happens in every fucking game. So, but it's Jurgen Klopp in Liverpool. So then you've got them going, yep, kept complete, no problem, keep going. And then one of them goes, hang on.
So they weren't precise in what they were saying.
No, they say check complete.
So they don't say it's a goal.
They don't say yes, correct, he is offside. They just say check complete.
Well, that's the problem there, isn't it? Why didn't you just go no goal or yes, that's a goal? Sorry, did you say yes or no? Yes, that's a goal. And then that's
the offside. No, he was not offside. Okay, I understand. No, instead they just go, check complete. So, but then one of them goes, no, he gave that as offside. And the bloke goes, well, nothing we can do now.
Well, there is, isn't it? He's got a direct line, isn't it? The referee, hasn't he?
Exactly.
That guy. Who's that guy? That goes, is he some, like, you know, inconspicuous effing?
He's called Daz on the audio.
Called Daz, is he? Some fella lost the 70 grand bet or something as well, didn't they?
But Jurgen Klopp's like, the only thing I can see that would make this better is if there was a replay.
A replay? No, yeah. All you need to do is go, yes, it's a goal. We've sorted it out. It's not a goal.
Liverpool ended up getting another man sent off, and Spurs won in the 96th minute against nine men by virtue of an own goal. And they were cheering like they'd won the fucking World Cup. But then after the game, Klopp was like, "Well, what can you do? Mistakes happen." But then yesterday he was like, "Actually, if they want to be fair about it, they should just replay the game so we have another chance to win."
Yeah, they kind of do that. Remember, there was an FA Cup tie. There was an FA Cup tie, wasn't there, that was famously replayed, I think, because Arsenal had signed a foreign lad and he didn't know the rules. And they threw the ball to give it back there. The Sheffield United, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Was it Sheffield United?
Bruce ordered his team off.
Was it Steve Bruce? I did, yes.
Because Mark Overmars was unsportsmanlike.
Yeah. They replayed that one, didn't they? But obviously, that's the FA Cup. So
every time I play football now and somebody does something a bit like that, I'm always like, all right, Overmars. Obviously, nobody has a fucking clue what I'm talking about.
I couldn't remember who it was, but I remember that I just signed him and he didn't know the he claimed that he didn't know the rules.
Well, they threw the ball back like soft to go back to the keeper to restart it. And he just was like, thank you very much.
Yep. Straight past Paddy Kenny.
who I assume had a big black eye at the time.
I'm sure he did.
It's time to take a break. We'll say goodbye.
We've been talking quite a long time, haven't we?
I think it's me. I haven't spoken to you for so long, so I'm rabbit.
We'll come back
and talk about Automan, which is one of the most convoluted ideas for a TV show I've ever seen. But let's talk about it in 5 minutes.
It certainly is. That would be nice. Okay.
See you in a sec. Right. What were you saying? You shut up, sharpish.
Freddy?
You were just saying Freddy. And you felt it might be offensive.
I don't think it's offensive. You thought I was saying Reddy and I was saying Freddy.
Moretti?
Teddy?
So, Brett, we're talking about Automan, 1983 to 1984, Glenn A. Larson production.
Yes, and we've dealt with him before, haven't we?
Oh, it's hard. It's hard to avoid him if you talk about anything American in the 80s.
That is true.
I feel like he came up with a lot of ideas, and TV executives were stupid enough to make almost all of them, because some of them were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them
were,
and you know, Knight Rider, Battlestar Galactica,
Magnum,
like some class stuff.
Knight Rider, the best one, I think.
Knight Rider,
do you think? I love Knight
Rider. But then there's some where you can see he's just gone. It's a car, but it's a robot, and it's also an alien. And somebody makes him, and he can go inside him, and it looks like it's electric. And it's something to do with the police. And I'm going, sounds good. Let's make it.
Well, I think with this one, obviously, it's very similar to a film called Tron, isn't it?
I think in this case,
two of the special effects artists who worked on Tron appeared in Glenn A. Larson's office and sort of said, we'll do that for you. And then he came up with this idea of Automan. Shall I do the synopsis of Automan?
Absolutely, on the edge of my seat to hear this synopsis.
Whatever. Automan is an American superhero TV series in which a police officer and a computer programmer creates an artificially intelligent crime-fighting hologram to help him rid the streets of villainy, but only at night.
Is that it? That's the full synopsis?
That's it. That is it.
Well, Brett, only at night. I make a big deal out of this, but all the crime happens at night, so it doesn't matter.
It does. It's fine, isn't it? apart from the episode that we watched, where he's in Switzerland, and there's not a lot of electricity going around in Switzerland, so
the man from the Avengers.
Yeah, Patrick McNee, isn't it? He was in the Don't Look Back in Anger video, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. The Oasis one. So he's in there.
So, yes, what did you think of this, Brett?
You know what? I strangely enjoyed it. It was too long. I think what I mainly enjoyed was the ridiculousness of it and the fact that it was one step away from Police Squad.
The acting and the directing is absolutely terrible in it. Like, so bad.
Well,
what was your favourite bit?
I've got lots of... my favourite bits of it, I think, are the dialogue. It's got to be the dialogue, because some of the dialogue... It's absolutely brilliant. At one point, the one main sort of guy who's the policeman, but he's also the computer programmer. Yeah. Walter, I think he's called.
He's like Walter Kanuckchek or something like that.
Yeah. He's played by an actor called Desi Arnaz Jr., which is a very good name. So at one point, he can get in Auto Man, can't he?
That's my favourite bit.
he can get in him. So what he says to him, Auto Man says to him, come into my dimension, move into my form.
So Auto Man's body
he
is
does
like
Wilney,
Tron, right?
Doesn't he? Quite Wilney.
He's almost not even finished talking.
He's in there.
The Auto Man's body is like a Tron thing, like the whole. But his head is an normal man head.
It is. He's a hologram, isn't he?
A hologram, or which is a sophisticated saying of a 3D animated projection of a being, which is how they describe it at the start.
And he's been created by this cop who everyone shuns in the police
force. He's been banished to a room full of computers, but probably at the time, one computer.
Yeah, he's been created by him in a game or something like that, hasn't he? But for some reason, he comes to life.
He comes to life.
The room shakes a bit.
Says he's given him too much. He's just given him too much energy.
Too much energy. Too much energy. And the weird thing about it is there's no origin about it at all. Auto Man, and the actor who plays Auto Man is the wonderfully named Chuck Wagner.
Amazing.
That's an amazing name, isn't it? Chuck Wagner. So he narrates his own origin at the start. It's like, if you've got the pilot episode... That's surely how, you know, you want to introduce how he's being created.
No.
Nah, fuck that. Nah.
Well, we'll start with a voiceover from Auto Man talking about how this other fella made him, and then he'll appear, and then we'll roll from there.
And he does appear, and he says a couple of wonderful things. I look wonderful. he likes himself, does Auto Man, doesn't he?
He does.
Don't I look wonderful?
And his mate, the programmer, says, he says, "Oh, you're sure of yourself or something like that." And almost everything he says to him, his reply is, "You programmed me to be like that." But that's his number one line in the entire thing is just that over and over again.
He's also a wonderful force for good. Isn't he Auto Man? That's why he pronounces right
by his own words, yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what, Cliff? I don't quite believe him. I don't know about you. I'm
a bit suspicious of him. I think he's got designs on a few of the ladies and
he's got designs on world domination, I think. His staring eyes are quite freaky, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we should say, if you've ever seen Tron, and also, I think it was done in the first Superman film where Marlon Brando and they had the Krypton suits and stuff like. So they're incredibly glowy, aren't they? Uh-huh. And that's what Auto Man has. He has a normal head, but he has the glowing suit.
That's right,
It is, and it's a strange thing to watch, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like Tron as a kid?
Not only do I like it as a kid, I absolutely love it now. It's one of my favourite ever films.
Is it? Because it was never a film I watched until I don't think I was...
Brett, you can get in the computer game.
Yeah, not I know. But I, for some reason, it was one of the ones that passed by us.
Because you're too busy watching Crywatch.
No, well, that's probably why. But I have subsequently sort of watched it, and I've got it on Blu-ray, and it is a good film. And I even quite like the sequel.
I haven't seen the sequel properly, but I've seen Jeff Bridges' computer face, and I didn't really like that.
The computer faces are a bit weird. Hey, on that note, I watched that Indiana Jones film as well.
All right, what do you think of that?
I thought it was all right, Cliff.
It's silly.
I thought it was okay.
I did not enjoy it. It's just daft. Like, I thought the effects weren't good enough for what they probably can do.
The thing is, right, with the Harrison Ford CGI face at the start, right, I think it looks okay compared to, like, some other things. If you watch The Flash or whatever, that's horrific. But the thing is, it's still Harrison Ford, isn't it, Acton? And as he's getting older, Harrison Ford, his shoulders have kind of increased in size, and his neck's gotten a little bit shorter, a bit like Sandy Tosbig.
He has got a bit like Tosbig.
So he's got the young face, but he's still got the old.
He's still very much an old man. I think it wasn't necessarily the face that got me. It was that scene where they're running along the top of the train, and it's just
Return
to Monkey Island or something like that.
That was bad, that bit. It was. But ultimately, I enjoyed it. But we're not talking about it in the end.
And the end was stupid, isn't it? Very stupid.
Yeah, and there was a midway through the film, he stopped being Indiana Jones and watched that program that she's in, Monkey Face or something. She started being Indiana Jones, and I was like, oh, I don't, you know. Yeah. So it was okay.
I'm no fan of hers, Brett.
Why you go against her?
She's posh, and I don't think she's very good.
Fair enough. But Auto Man, Cliff.
Auto Man. There's some wonderful acting in this. There's some wonderful, my favorite bit, Brett.
Go on.
We haven't talked about the car yet. So Automan also is accompanied by, is it a glowing rhombus?
It's called Cursor, I think there was something similar in Tron, wasn't there? It was a little thing that would fly about and stuff like that. So it's very similar to that idea. But yeah, it's called Cursor, not explained at all.
Nothing about it explained. But it's a thing that flies around glowing and can draw.
Yes.
Kind of draw things out of thin air, like electric lines, a bit like when you have a sparkler.
A bit like that.
So it draws something, and then that thing becomes real, like the auto car. Is that what it's called?
That is what it's called, strangely enough.
Seems like not the right thing to call that, an auto car.
It's just, I mean, they're American, Cliff. They all drive automatics, don't they? I think it is the right thing to call it, to be perfectly honest. But and not only that, Cliff, it can also draw helicopters, put wings on the car, tanks, planes.
It's amazing all the stuff it can do.
Hey, out at once.
But the car is probably the most common. What happens is the car can drive like unnaturally, not like a normal car. It goes really fast.
Like a computer game. And or like Tron, you know, where they would.
Yeah.
Straight. Where they go at the angles. That was nice. Nice to watch.
So that's pretty good. But one of the things is it turns at 90 degree angles very quickly instead of like curving around a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my favorite bit because every time. What's he called again, the guy?
Walter
ends up in an uncomfortable angle, pressed up against the window because he's gone around the corner too fast.
He does, which is one of the reasons why I don't entirely trust Automan, because he knows that this is going to happen. And fair enough, if he doesn't know the first time, he does know the seventh. Doesn't he, Cliff?
But I think it's funny that every time they make the same thing happen with Walter against the wind.
He just does the same thing, doesn't he? He really does do the same thing.
The bit where he gets in him. So basically, he steps inside him. So you're still seeing Auto Man, and Walter is hidden inside him. He's become part.
He's inside him. Like
he's in the form. Man. He's inside the form.
Yes, he's become him. Come inside me, form, please.
But he talks. So actually, Automan starts. He's going, "Hey, I'm inside your body. Yes, yeah. You are inside. I think it feels kind of weird. No, doesn't feel weird. Like he's like talking to himself through the thing.
Yeah, he's got the voice of Volta, and I think this is where Chuck Wagner does quite well. I think because he has like the facial mannerisms of Volta in that.
What do you when think he's of doing Volta? That?
I think Walter's over the top a little bit. I think
it's absolutely terrible.
Yeah, he's also got a very sexy girl that works in the. And the police station with them, yeah. Who's called Roxanne. What a wonderful name. Mm-hmm. And she's played by Heather McNair. And there's a part where he goes, you think I'm a right weirdo, you, and that's why you won't go out with this. yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, who would ever say that?
Yeah, and ugly. Don't forget that.
Don't that forget that bit. And she goes,
"Yeah." No, don't be silly.
No, man. Don't be daft.
So the premise of the show is this guy is banished from being a beat cop to the computer room. He yes. spends his time making this hologram, which becomes real. He says, but you're not real. Oh, I'm very real. Just different.
Just different. I have the face of Tom Selleck and various other actors that you've programmed us to have in that, isn't he?
Also, so then he starts fighting crime with him at night. That's it, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he can only work well at night because most people are abed in that. And
so he
during
needs
the day,
electricity. So
he needs to take power from the grid.
He needs.
And then that is also. Cliff, one of my favourite bits, the bit where he's running down on energy and he decides to recharge and he makes what I can only describe as a cum face whilst he's recharging. And I think he actually goes, like that. I love that bit.
Look at the grid. No explanation for that bit either. Like why he needs to run off the national grid.
And nobody's noticing the deficits in the grid at night. Nobody's noticing this. Like what's going on here? You know what I mean? I think electricity was in so much of an abundance during the 80s. They just threw it away willy nilly. not in England, of course.
So the rest of the thing is that people, when they see Automan, they're like, what? Uh-huh. And he helps solve some kind of Swiss crime. To be honest, I got a bit lost. It's quite confusing.
You shouldn't have gotten lost, Liv, because it is quite possibly the greatest plot
ever. Well, the plot for this pilot is?
The plot for this pilot is scientists obviously are being kidnapped by Patrick McNee, who transports them to Switzerland, Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is he puts them in a Swiss hotel filled with scantily clad women with swimming pools and stuff like that. And he says to them, you just need to keep work. You just need to keep your same job that you've always been doing, but you're going to be here with us because the scientists have decided to leave their jobs. Who they're actually working for. And this company are paying Patrick McNee to kidnap the scientists, take them over to Switzerland and make them keep working with naked women. And some people, Cliff, some people refuse.
I know.
But why? Why would you refuse? I've
been to Switzerland, it's nice.
Yeah, but have you been to Switzerland with pools and naked women?
Not naked women, of course, Brett. I'm a married man.
Well, there you go.
There was there pools with scantily clad women.
Yeah, but I'm not a scientist, sadly. Naked. Well, that's it. That's it. And I mean, there were like supermodels and stuff, and they refused. And Automan had to go and save them from this peril as well. Doesn't sound it's like
he put his efforts in the wrong place, I think.
The writers have obviously gone, we need a couple of naked women in this. Scantily clad women in this.
Is this enough to get people interested? The robot hologram man and his pretend car?
I don't know, maybe he's not. We're spending $1 million per episode on this. That's how much they spent. I think we definitely need... It's the craziest of plots. It is very strange.
One of my other favourite bits, Brett, before we wrap up about Auto Man, was where he says he's personal friends with Donkey Kong.
Yeah, and Pac-Man. And Pac-Man. Clips. Yeah.
Well, I know them very well.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favourite bits, and this is the ending, and it also shows why Auto Man is not to be trusted, is that he creates a replica of Patrick McNee's plane. He's trying to get away. And Patrick McNee goes, I'll just have plastic surgery and that, and I'll be fine. And they make this fake plane that he gets in. And then Patrick McNee realizes he's in this fake plane and he just screams, ah, like that. And presumably, it doesn't show you, that plane disappears whilst they're mid-flight. And he just plummets to his death. But it's not explained or discussed.
He's only doing his job as well.
Exactly, he's only doing his job. He only kidnapped a few scientists. I mean, fucking hell. But
Hang on, Brett, breaking news. Yes. Breaking
Go
news.
On. Okay, yes.
An update on the slave trade.
Okay.
Jane says, we are saved. And she's highlighted a quote that says, and he returned to Scotland a poorer man because he would not partake in the shameful gains of slavery.
Well, and that's to his credit, isn't it?
It is to his credit.
Yeah. Well done to him.
Well, good for that's him. Good. Poor, but morally correct.
Yes, exactly. Well done.
Anyway,
what did you think of it then? Did you enjoy it?
I think an hour and 15 minutes of it is a lot. I enjoyed the premise because it's silly. I think pretty much all of Glenn A. Larson's programs are watchable and enjoyable. The acting and the dialogue is terrible. It is absolutely terrible.
It's one step away from Police Squad, isn't it? It's really bad.
I thought the effects were good and the idea, I'm not really sure you need the he's created him and then he can only come out at night and all of that kind of stuff aspect of it and the energy from the grid and stuff. I think the idea of and getting inside him and then there's a pretend world and there's a real world, I get that's basically Tron, I get that. But I think this if it was just a clever, geeky cop but who's good with computers, which obviously would have been fairly new and stuff at the time anyway, who manages to mistakenly create a kind of hologram policeman that helps him and is cool, and he's the nerdy one and he's created a cool guy that is kind of the Fight Club-y mirror image of him and stuff. I think if it was just that, it would be pretty cool. I don't think you need to get inside him. I don't think you need to go into the pretend computer world.
Cliff, I completely disagree. I would love to get inside Chuck
Wagner. You want to be part of his form?
I want to be in his form. I want to come in his form. That's what I'd like to say. And that's the end of it. Hey, would you like a quiz?
Cliff, we've got time for a quiz.
Well, good for you. It's an auto quiz, this Cliff. So here we go. Who released the 1992 album Automatic for the People?
R.E.M.
That's correct. And for a bonus point, what does R.E.M. stand for, Cliff?
I think it's Rapid Eye Movement.
No, it's Roger's Enormous Monkey.
Shit. I always get that mixed up.
You do, don't you? Silly you. If you fail to pay your BBC TV licence, you could receive an automatic fine of how much?
£80.
It's very close. It's £1,000, Cliff, these days.
Is it? You know, one of our mates doesn't have a license and gets the fines and just sends them back saying you have no like jurisdiction over me or something like that.
Wonderful. I like that. And for a bonus fine, Cliff, what does BBC stand for?
British Broadcasting Corporation.
Yeah, that's right. Next question. What's the spooky practice of holding a writing implement and allowing an alleged spirit to manipulate the practitioner's hand called?
Well, like from a Ouija board, but it's obviously something auto.
Yeah, it's obviously something auto. You're starting to get this, aren't you? You're starting to get this.
Okay, I'm picking it up. Auto spiritual calligraphication.
That's very clever of you, but it's automatic writing, Cliff.
Writing, is it? Off that film, that film we watched with Mark, that one, that was good, wasn't it? That 70s horror. That was what happened in that, wasn't it?
The that is that what happened good. In that. How dare you forget? Next one. Who released the 1983 single Automatic?
Automatic.
Which is a wonderful song, isn't it? Yes.
It is, but is it?
You're going to kick yourself when I tell you the answer if you get it wrong.
Kick myself. It is. I can't stop thinking of the Weather Girls, which is normal for me.
Well, that's not correct. So I know
it's
not correct.
Well, it's.
If I give you the, I'll just say Sisters.
Pointer Sisters.
That's absolutely correct. You give us a pointer. Well done. I did give you a pointer. I didn't know with the Sisters. I certainly did. Can you name the star of the 2014 film Auto Matter? Now, you spoke about this particular person on previous podcasts. I will give you some clues. He's Spanish.
Is it Antonio Banderas?
No, it isn't. It's Juan Mata.
Juan Mata?
Yes, it's Antonio Banderas. It is indeed Antonio Banderas. Very small man. So well done. Who? Juan Mata?
Both of them.
I think that the other one. He Banderas was in the Indiana like Jones, isn't he? He was in that. I think that's where you were talking about it.
He had like one leg cut off, didn't he? Or something like that.
He had about four lines of dialogue in the film.
I know, it was weird. Like, I didn't really understand why you needed him to be that character. He was very good.
Yeah.
But I didn't really understand why it needed to be him.
And he was instantly killed. Wasn't he? He was instantly killed. Last one for you, Cliff. Which computer game features the voices of Ray Liotta, Tom Sizemore, Dennis Hopper, Burt Reynolds, Gary Busey, Jenna Jameson, and Danny Dyer?
What the fuck? Well, it can only be Grand Theft Auto, but
that's correct.
A lot of them are dead, I think.
A lot of them are dead, aren't they?
Sizemore's carked it, hasn't he?
I think he has, yes. It's Grand Theft Auto Vice City, which is the best one. So, yes, well done. You did quite well there, didn't you?
I think so. I got a point there or two from you.
You did. And also, you see how I call it auto? I'm basically giving you the answers on that, Cliff. Where's your fucking quizzes? I mean, I could just guess anything and I'd be wrong, couldn't I? To be honest.
Well, I'll keep that in mind next time you want an easy quiz so you can feel good about yourself. No problem.
Okay, thanks we'll very much. That.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Thanks. That would so be nice.
We got music?
We have got music, yes. And we've got it from our old friend, Willie Bo Walker, haven't we?
Uh-huh. I presume you've listened to it. It's Who Do You Love?
To it.
The old rockabilly song. Bluesy rockabilly thing.
It's called Who Do You Love? And in brackets, Don't You Love Me, Baby? Don't You?
Okay.
Apparently it's a bit of circus jazz going on here, Cliff.
Well, I think
have you ever heard that term?
But I think that's the tune. that must be the tune that's playing. That isn't the actual song, I think.
What? So you wouldn't call this circus jazz?
Well, I will now. I know the term.
There's a lot of sort of trumpets and, you know, people blowing stuff on it, isn't there?
Well, it's a song I very much know, but this is definitely a different version of it. And I like Willie Bo Walker, and I'm pleased that we've got it.
So am I. I'm over the moon.
Have you heard the Bo Diddley version?
Maybe.
Okay.
And that's probably a no.
Have you seen The Last Waltz, the film with the band?
No, I have not seen that. Okay. Nor have I ever listened to the band, The Band.
Well, I don't think you like them that much, but The Last Waltz is good. Martin Scorsese directed it. It's their final ever concert. And It is basically them with being the backing band for loads of famous people like Bob Dylan, who they were the backing band for, Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, Van Morrison, Neil Demand.
He's more in demand these days, isn't he?
He is. And Ronnie Hawkins, who was, they were a band doing in the 50s, late 50s, early 60s. They were touring like the south of the US as the backing band for this guy, Ronnie Hawkins. And then, I don't know, 15 years later, they bring him out to sing this song, Who Do You Love? And Obviously he's not, these are like mega stars and whatever by this point. He's not. He's like a kind of redneck kind of character. And it's hilarious, but brilliant because He is having the time of his life on this massive stage at Madison Square Garden or wherever it is that they do this gig. It's fucking brilliant. So it always makes a smile, this song. And now I have another
reason. That's good. Well, that's excellent. Hey, I know that the band are very highly rated, aren't they?
They are, like, but you know what? They're one of those you listen to and you think, but why?
Yeah.
I do like them.
Yeah, I think I was going through like a list of like the greatest albums, NME or something like that. And I think that one of the band albums was on there. And I think I got through three songs or something.
I do like them, and I've got their albums, almost all of them, I think. And I think there's some brilliant songwriting and playing on them. But it's not something I'm sticking on for an hour, really.
Yeah.
There's some, like, I think there's some amazing singing and playing and songwriting, but yeah, I still don't really get why. I get it in the moment because the type of music that they were doing was different at the time. Instead of psychedelic, they were doing all of this like rustic rootsy stuff, which is kind of what the Beatles ended up doing with Let It Be, or the idea for Let It Be was influenced by that, which I think that's an amazing feat to be a band that has influenced the Beatles and trying a different type of music instead of the other way around.
I think that's why I listened to it, because I read that they were influenced. I think it's in the anthology book that they were influenced by the band.
Yeah, well, Harrison would have been, because Dylan played with them and all of that kind of stuff, and George, Eric Clapton and stuff. So the, you can see why that was, and you've got to admire that, but I'm not sure, like, a new listener coming to it, forget all of that background and knowledge, would anybody be like, well, revolutionary this? Because shorn of the context, it doesn't really have that impact, I think. But like I say, lovely singing, really good playing, some great guitar playing and drums and stuff like that. But I'm not sure it's there. Anyway. Willie Bo.
Well, you love this version, don't you?
Yes.
From Willie Bo.
So yeah.
Play it now.
All right, then. Here we go. Ooh. See you later. You got more than 7 miles of barbed wire. My God, Russ, name, bar, a necktie. A brand new house by the roadside. And it's made from rattlesnake hide. But tell me, who do you love? The night was black, my baby, she was turning blue, and down the alley, the ice wagon flew.
dreams deep down inside. And she said, don't you love me, baby? Don't you love me, child? Don't you love me, baby? Don't you love me, child? Don't you love me, baby? Don't